So our Bible reading this morning is from Genesis chapter 3, starting at the first verse, and the paragraph is subtitled The Fall. Now the snake was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, "Did God really say you mustn't eat any of the fruit from the tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the snake, "We may eat the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the snake said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it from your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God and know good and evil." And when the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing for the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. And then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed some fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees in the garden. This is God's word for us this morning.
Thank you, Helen. Well, this autumn here at Harborne Baptist Church, we are aiming to go deeper, to go deeper in our worship, deeper in our connection with God, with each other, and with our community. And whether you feel like you're just starting out with God, or whether you've been a follower of Jesus for decades, or even if today you're watching on and you feel like you're just on the sidelines, then I want to invite you today to join us as we begin to explore the Bible's life-changing story. Now, I know that's a big claim to make, that the book unfolding here has the potential to change lives. And today, as we start at the beginning, I want to look at three reasons why I think we can make that claim. Firstly, we can make the claim that it's a life-changing story because this story is God's story. Genesis 1 and verse 1, the opening line, "In the beginning, God." God is at the beginning of this story. If you forward wind right to the very end, the last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22 and verse 21, "Come, Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen." The beginning and the end. In the beginning, God. At the end, God. And in between, God. Now I know there's so many stories, aren't there, that are told around us all the time. Many of them are really fascinating and compelling. We love hearing them and listening to them and reading them. Many of them are valuable. A few of them claim to be life-changing. I wonder what kind of stories you would say have changed your life. At the moment, I'm reading this little book. It's called Make Your Bed. And there's a subtitle to it, which is Little Things That Can Change Your Life. And basically the argument of this book is that if you get up in the morning and the first thing you do is to make your bed, then that will change your life. Now, I haven't finished the book yet, so I'm not convinced yet, but you might like to try it and see how it goes. But the book is written by someone who was a general in the US Army, and he certainly plays on his background, talks a lot about his experiences. And often we do listen, don't we, to people who've experienced certain things, who have achieved certain things. Maybe they've got status for one reason or another, and they may themselves have turned their lives around. And it can be really good for us to listen to those stories. But the Bible has so much more than wisdom for life, those kind of suggestions to do things like make your bed in the morning, because the Bible is God's story. And so as we discover more about the story of the Bible, as we go deeper, we're going to find things that challenge us. We're going to find things that disturb us. I hope we'll find things that encourage us, because this story is God's story, and the one who was at the beginning, is now, and will be forevermore, is behind this book. And if that's true, then how could it not be a life-changing story? But then secondly, Genesis, the end of Genesis 1, we read at the beginning, we read this, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. This story is our world's story. And in those 12 words, we learn two foundational truths, that God made the world and that it was good. Not just good, but very good. Now, in our daily lives, if you're anything like me, I suspect you often forget both of those truths, live as though they weren't true. Every time I drop a piece of litter, for example, or buy some unnecessary plastic, or ignore the fact that my choices damage the world around me, I'm living as if God didn't make the world and as if it wasn't good. And so those 12 words, God saw all that he had made and it was very good, can change your life and my life today. What would change if we truly believed and lived as though that were true? And maybe today, more than ever, we need to be reminded of those truths. God made all things, including people, men and women, made in the image of God. And it was very good. As we look out on our world, as we look ahead to this week that's ahead of us with the rule of six arriving tomorrow, with a local lockdown for us here in Birmingham on Tuesday, this pandemic around us, the fear, the anxiety, violence that we've seen, redundancies, economic questions and uncertainty, so much on our news that would cause us to question what is going on around us. So easy to forget that God made our world and it was very good. And rather than despair, that truth brings us hope, because the God who created can and is recreating and doing things new. This will not be. This is not over. Hope can and will rise up. God saw all that he had made and it was very good. So why is this story, the Bible story, life-changing? Firstly, because it's God's story. Secondly, because it's our world's story. But thirdly, maybe surprisingly, because it is our story. It's our story. The snake in the garden, the woman, the man eating that fruit. This is my story. This is your story, as Eunice and Josh just illustrated for us really nicely. It's a simple story. It's a story about choices. I wonder if you recognize yourself in the story. The snake, one of God's creatures, cunning and clever, does two things. Questions God's character and then denies God's word. The snake in verse 1 of chapter 3. Did God really say, you can't eat from any tree in the garden? Well, no, God didn't say anything like that if you go back to chapter 1. But the snake is twisting what God has said and making God out to be a tyrant, questioning, why choose God's way? In chapter 2, God said generously, Adam and Eve could eat from any tree except just this one. And that's almost how Eve replies to the snake. But having planted that seed of doubt about God's character, the snake then moves in, verse 4 of chapter 3, and directly contradicts what God had said. You will not certainly die, the snake said. God is lying to you. Choose this way instead. Choose this fruit which looks good, which looks tasty, which promises wisdom. And the woman takes and eats, and then she gives it to her husband. Now, it's important to stop here for a moment, because I know people have used these verses to build up all kinds of ideas that Eve is somehow to blame for what Adam chose. And actually, if we look at verse 6, we see this. Verse 6 of chapter 3, it says, she gave some to her husband who was with her. Who was with her. In other words, Adam has been there silently, presumably hearing everything that had been said up to that point, and he has not stepped in. He has not objected. He hasn't made any effort, in fact. Eve doesn't twist Adam's arm. She doesn't tempt him even, just offers the fruit. And he chooses. He decides. He takes and eats. Now, of course, it's not really about the food. And yes, Josh, I will forgive you for the empty plate of donuts, although I'd be keen to have some at some point if we can arrange that. But it's not really about the food. It's about the choice that's been made. The choice that's been made. And here's the choice they've made. They've chosen to put themselves rather than God in the centre of their universe. And so verse 7, their eyes are open, but they don't see what they thought they would see. This new knowledge isn't what they'd hoped for. They feel shame. Innocence is gone. God is no longer in the centre. And so in verse 8, when God comes, walking in the cool of the evening in the garden, what do they choose to do? They choose to hide. They choose to hide. I wonder, could they have chosen a different way at that moment? To admit that they'd gone wrong. To admit that they'd messed up. To admit their sin. To come and ask God for forgiveness as he walked through the garden toward them. They chose instead to hide. It's a story about choices. This is our story. Will we choose God's way or our own? Now, the Bible is completely honest about human failure. As we read through, we're going to come across all sorts of mistakes and poor choices and rebellions, and every one of them starts here in Genesis chapter 3 with replacing God with ourselves at the center of our world. And this is our story. As Eunice has already said, the good news of Jesus, where we'll reach at Christmas in a few months' time, is that we no longer need to hide. We don't need to hide from God because our choices, our mistakes don't need to define our future. There is hope, and that is a life-changing story. So as we go through this story of the Bible, we're going to encounter again and again God, our world, and ourselves. And I'm excited to see what we're going to find, and I hope that you are too. We're going to find challenge. We're going to find parts of this book that disturb us and that we find difficult. We're going to find also encouragements. And whether that will be for us gathering in this building here, which I hope we'll be able to do, but we need to be very careful with the current restrictions, or whether it's watching on YouTube or listening in on the phone line, I invite you now to explore this story with us together as we go deeper. And one of the ways that we can go deeper is through art, through creativity, through poetry. And we're going to listen now and watch part of a poem called Eden, produced by the Bible Society, read, written and performed by Di Woolridge, who we've heard before here at Harborne Baptist Church. And it's a reflection in poetry with images on this story, on God, our world, and ourselves.